Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show where we talk about last week's pop culture news in a geekly kind of fashion. As always, it's your boy, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once
where
again,
he's big.
Oh, I'm everywhere on the internet.
He's big on the internet.
You can find me just if you've seen the name at Brother Dom anywhere, which it's quite possible you have if you've been on the internet. Wow, that's. I wish it was conceited. I just got lucky. go viral. As always, I am joined by the not viral, the not bacterial, but the lovely co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
I am infectious.
Ooh, I should have went with infectious.
Hey.
I was not on my feet.
It's all good. Hello, all. It is I, Stephanie, a.k.a. Captain Steph, on the Twitter, the Snowqueer on the Tumblr. Hella stuff on the Instas.
Oh yeah, I messed it up last week.
Yeah, you messed it up last week, but it's okay. Last week, if you may have noticed, Dom shift from, like, cordial co-host to, like, lost and confused boy. that was because my battery died in the middle, right as the end of the podcast came up. My computer is plugged in today, so we will not have that problem this week.
Well, that'd be a good problem not to have, because I wish you could have seen the sheer panic just within my head. I was like, oh.
I told him that it was dying, and, like, all that was left to do was the social media, so, like.
Well, you said it was going to die in about 10 minutes, and I think you miscalculated by about
10%. I had 10% left.
Yeah, I thought 10% was going to give you, like, 10 minutes. Apparently not. It gave you, like, 2. And I'm like, So I assumed what you did was just cut off Skype, just stop Audacity and just save. But then you texted me or messaged me, and you're like, my computer died. I'm like, but things are good. The episode came out.
As you may have listened to last week's episode, I did get my computer to unsleep and recovered my audio, so everything is okay.
Everything's okay with the audio. Everything's not okay in general.
Yeah. That's fair.
America is a wild place.
On fire.
America's on fire. In two ways. We'll talk about the serious one first. Yeah, Charlottesville, the stuff went on there. There was a white supremacist neo-Nazi rally where they had tiki torches, which the tiki company was very quick to say, this is nothing to do with us. We didn't give them this. We don't condone this. Just letting you know that our torches are for house parties.
Torches are for fun and enjoyment with family and friends, not
racist rallies.
Rallies, exactly.
But yeah, people, you know, there were counter protests, and, you know, kudos to everybody who went there and said, hey, Nazism isn't cool. I thought that was a lower bar to cross in 2017, but that's, well, I didn't really think that, but I thought it should have been by now.
Like, tiki and, like, polo shirts and, like, a lot of brands that were present at the rally were faster to condemn white supremacy than the president.
Yeah, they didn't pull a both sides argument the way that he did, which is, I don't even think it's not really a Democrat, Republican, left-right issue to say that Nazism is bad. I'm pretty sure there's quite a lot of conservative folk who fought in World War II and would come home and tell you that they don't think that's a good way to be, but, you know, let's see. Again, you would think these are easy paths to clear.
Even Paul Ryan thinks white supremacy is bad,
and, like, if he doesn't, at least he had, like, the couth, like I've said it before,
the wherewithal. Yeah,
you have to condemn that,
claim that. Yeah,
especially, is he on record saying that Black Lives Matter is ridiculous, like, as a group? Has he said something like that before? Or has he just been, like, condemned, like, black people doing stuff? Either way, the point is, he's like, look, man, don't be a Nazi. Which is, again, I'm not giving people props for saying that, because, again,
that's, like, a basic bar.
That's, like, one of the American things to say. But, yeah, and a young woman lost her life due to a person driving his car through a crowd, which is very unfortunate. It's a terrible thing that happened. So, best wishes and peace to the family, whatever they can get. It's probably a trying time, and I doubt they listen to this, but I wish them peace. But I did hear some podcasts talking about, you know, if you are an EMT or have any kind of EMT training or medical training, try to spread that information as much as possible, especially since there's going to be more racist rallies and definitely counter protests and people have been emboldened. So, you know, try to stay safe and know some tips how to deal with such things if they happen. Just read up and be safe. I believe that the Nazis are coming to Pittsburgh this weekend. So that's terrible.
That's fun.
Yeah. So if any of our listeners are out that way, you know, try to be safe. Just know your medical things. But I did mention America was on fire in two ways, and that was my bad attempt at a pivot. But I do want to talk about video games and stuff and just nerdy stuff, because that's what we do. We try to provide you all entertainment to be an escape, if anything. So you mind, you good jumping into the less important stuff?
Yeah, let's go.
So America kicked some ass in the Overwatch World Cup this weekend, the group stage. That's good news. They won 11 of 12 rounds, I guess maps they call them. They only lost one, I believe, to Chinese Taipei, which is the Taiwan team. So we won all of our group stage. That means we had to play against one of the teams from the other state, the group, which was Germany, who we deftly defeated. Symbolism. But the German team is very good. They were favored to do well, but unfortunately they went against the UK, who was quite as good as well. So the UK is the other team that went ahead. They played against China in their group stage. So I think the UK is playing Canada at BlizzCon in November. So good for them. The United States unfortunately has to play against South Korea, has not lost a round. From what I could tell, they have not lost a round on a map or a match or a set or anything. They pretty much kick everybody's ass. And they're the favorites to win. And it's, I know there's...
RIP USA.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a stereotype that South Koreans are good at video games, but that stereotype usually excludes first-person shooters. And the South Korean teams do a lot of creative things, and they have a different approach, which makes them very good. So hopefully the United States can pull it together. They're a very good team as well, but, you know, somebody has to be the best team, and somebody has to play the best team earlier than everybody else. So let's hope we pull an upset. Yes. There's also some new Overwatch League teams, from what I can understand. The LA Rams and Denver Nuggets and the Kroenkies, I believe. They bought a team. There'll be another team in LA. And London has the Cloud9 organization. They have a team, so that's that. And also the Overwatch Contenders is coming up, which I think is basically like a farm league. It's like a development league for people who want to be league professionals. So there's cash on the line. Organizations are going to be picking people up. So it's kind of like a combine.
I'm going to be joining.
Hmm?
I'm going to be joining. They can train me from someone who's comically terrible at Overwatch and someone who will be a world champion. I'll be the underdog story.
That's their, like, their sort of pitch. that, like, you anybody
quitting my job tomorrow.
I think it was like the video they had, like, with somebody called Crusher99. So they're like, no, there's all kinds of accounts that are called Crusher99 now. But the contender starts this weekend on Saturday. Games on Saturday and Sunday starting around 1 p.m. Eastern time. There's all the esports teams, you know, Misfits, Cloud9, E United, Envious, Rogue. I mean, I know some of these names. And then a bunch I've never heard, but like FaZe Clan, 5-Hour Energy has a team. So nice. They didn't even care. They're just like, we're just calling them 5-Hour Energy. And then some next week as well. So it's kind of like a mini league, which is pretty cool. So yeah, Overwatch, it's keeps on trucking along. People are happy. Lucio Ball is competitive. A deathmatch mode came out. People weren't expecting that. It's fun. It's a lively game. Still great.
Good stuff.
Yes. Also in the video game news land, Sonic Mania got delayed on PC. To many people's upsetness, the collector's editions are still coming out, but they're going to be shipping without the game because it's just a code anyway, so they really could have sent them like last week, honestly. But there's a rumor that they just want to add some DRM to the game, and that's why they said, oh, well, the PC's not optimized, which I don't know enough about game dev, but I'm pretty sure it seems odd that the guys who've done such a great job programming all the other Sonic ports and all the other stuff, like the fans who are predominantly like PC fan game makers, that they'd be able to get the Xbox One, PS4, and even the Nintendo Switch, which wasn't even codename announced before Sonic Mania was announced. Like, we got those all good to go, but the PC one had some issues, and fans are like, that sounds a little sketch, but So it's coming out on the 29th, but it came out on consoles today, so I caved and bought it for the Switch. Nice. Like, it's, you know, I'm at the point in my life where I have enough disposable income that I dispose on other nonsense that I can just shift around some of my nonsense to something that, and holy crap, it's a really good game. It's getting good ratings across the board. It's very enjoyable. It's highly recommended. And there's a boss in the game that when it premiered at E3, they're like, you can talk about anything except for this boss. It's a secret. It's a surprise. Don't tell people about it. But you can tell people, you know, what level that guy is in. Well, I mean, it's always robotic, so that's not really a surprise. But, like, what the boss is, and even people that are reviewing it are like, yo, wait till you get to this level, and there's going to be some stuff, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And I got to it, and, like, it was just one of those things you look at, and it just puts a big smile on your face if you've been a fan of the series for, like, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it put a grin on my face. I just busted out laughing, like, this is really what they're about to do right now. And, but it's a beautiful game, remixed levels, and... You know, they say they brought classic levels and remixed them, but they get remixed so fast that you're like, this is just a whole new level with an old skin on it. Like, it feels like the old thing, but it feels like more of it, so it doesn't feel like they're rehashing stuff as much. And there's, like, representation from other levels. Like, there's, like, a stage gimmick from, I want to say, Marble Garden Zone Sonic 3 that they put in a completely different level, so, like, they reskin it, but it's the same basic thing. It's nice to, like, oh, okay, they wanted to represent as many games as possible without having to, like, dedicate a whole stage to it, so that's nice. There's just jokes, there's just all the, like, the mythology gags, all the references. It's a, you know, it would have been a good companion game for Sonic Generations. It feels a lot like that, but with the new stuff, so. My Sonic itch has been thoroughly scratched. I am very happy.
Nice.
Yes. And this last article, I don't care a lot about this, and I just saw it today. I think you'll care about it a little bit more than I will.
I just read this article and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, so the director of Deadly Premonition announces a new RPG coming out. They're going to get a crowdfunding campaign.
And so, like, from the two titles that they mention in this article of his previous directingness, like, I would never in my life have been like, oh yeah, this is the logical progression of the next thing.
Yeah.
It's Deadly Premonition and D4 Dark Dreams Don't Die.
Yeah, which is like some, I think, like light novel type game. I can't remember what it is at all, but it's like, these are both very Japanese games.
I was gonna say, they sound like kind of like light novel horror games.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's like Danganronpa, but I can be completely wrong. I'm probably wrong. But the pitch of this is... a daily life RPG called The Good Life about a New York photographer named Naomi who visits a peculiar English village where everyone transforms into a cat at night. Naomi herself will learn to morph into a feline where she'll be able to access places previously out of reach in human form. Become a cat, enjoy the night. And the art kind of looks like Pokemon manual art. But what the hell is this? This is... I just saw this today and this looks... You know how anytime you see something about, like, Splatoon, Overwatch, Sonic, or butt stuff or something, you're like, better tag Dom.
Yep.
This was like, I know someone who will like this. It's you. Yeah.
It's your girl.
It's your girl, Steph, your co-host. But yeah, so cat RPG. Roll.
I'm hype.
It's a CPG, a cat playing game.
I don't know. This is delightful. I'm just delighted.
Why would you not be? It's cats. You get to transform into cats.
It's my wildest dream.
Yeah. And, let's be real. But apparently one of the supporting characters in D4 was a woman who behaves like and may in fact be a stray feline. So I don't know if that's like a cat girl fetish thing or
universe.
Just...
It's universe.
It's... This is...
it's the extended universe.
No, this is actually... Okay, this is something different. but yes. It seems like Japanese games... You know, the stereotype of Japanese games and what all that entails is back in full force. You know, Final Fantasy's big again. Resident Evil made a comeback. Nier Automata made all the good stuff. So people are excited to be in love with Japanese games again. And it's funny because people forget that Sonic and Mario are very Japanese games just because they have such a big presence in America. But yeah, you forget that the Italian plumber... from Brooklyn Mushroom Kingdom is actually a Japanese property. So, yeah.
You really can't be blamed.
it's a very interesting
thing. It's multiculturalism at work.
Yes, it is. It's and even probably alienness of some sort. And this next thing on the list, actually, I put in the wrong section, and we should talk about it now. Something you know about. Pop this over to me.
So the next thing on our show notes list, since we're talking video game stuff, is some Pokemon Go stuff. But it's all bad news. so mad. No, so apparently the legendary birds were only going to be in the game until the end of August. I didn't know this, and so I've been, like, slacking on trying to catch them, or, like, actually going to find raid gyms. I did fight, I think I may have ranted about it on this very podcast, but I did defeat an Articuno in a gym raid battle, and my fucking app crashed as I was going to the screen where it would have let me attempt to catch the Articuno. Still a little salty about that. But this distressing news was buried in an article about how Mewtwo is finally going to be introduced in the Pokemon Go universe.
There he is.
The boy, after all this time. However, it seems like, again, it's going to be, like, a tricky... Like, it says, the Pokemon will be available as a part of limited-time exclusive raid battles which trainers must receive an invitation to take part in. They must have successfully completed a raid recently by defeating the raid boss at the gym where the exclusive raid battle will be taking place. Which seems like a lot. Like, let me just fight a Mewtwo. Can we just do that? Like...
Like, I get the want for both, but it's like, I don't know how they want you to play this game. Like, I don't know its optimal playing style, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because of things like that. Like, are you supposed to devote time into it? Is it like a pickup when it's there, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like, I want to do it. And it says, like the first Mewtwo raid battle, you were guaranteed to catch it if you defeated it, which is nice because, like, that way you didn't, like, in this case, like, haul ass to Yokohama to compete in a Pokemon raid and then get nothing out of it. But still, like, how am I supposed to collect them all if I'm not given the opportunity to... Or if certain Pokemon are only available for a limited time.
You know what I think makes this bad? Like, or not bad, but I wish people didn't know about Pokemon already. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of something being legendary works really well if it's, like, of legend. Like, guys, I caught, like, this cat-looking thing with a big tail. People are like, shut up, dude. No, you didn't. There's only, like, 150 Pokemon. Like,
yeah,
no, dude,
if it's, like,
more.
A mysterious...
But, like, we all know who Mewtwo is, we all know the birds, we know they exist, and we know there's more than one. It's not like it's just one person that can catch them. It's like, just let me catch the Mewtwo. Let me see the Mewtwo. Yeah.
Let me even see the Mewtwo.
I just want to see him stand in there menacingly.
Yeah, and it's like, it seems unclear also to me, like, the way that's worded in this particular article from Polygon, but if you defeat a Pokemon that's in a raid battle at a gym... you get the opportunity to catch it at the end. And I don't know enough about the mechanics of Pokemon Go, like, is that, I'm trying to, like, word this in a way that it makes sense in my head, is that, like, it's not like you're stealing that Pokemon from another person, but, like, are those three Pokemon, like, people can still put them in gyms once they've caught them, and they're not going to go away from people's collections. So I don't know if, like, I don't know, basically the question is, like, where do the raid boss Pokemon come from? Like, are they part of the gym team that's put in the gym by other players? Or are they, like, generated by the game?
I'd imagine they're generated. I mean, I know that that's what they would do if you wanted to get a legendary, like, on, like, your DS or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the data would just be on the cartridge and they'd have, like, an event Pokemon that, like, there'd be a DS at GameStop or, like, a Wi-Fi spot that where they give you an item and you're able to unlock it, or they just say, hey, you know, trade me some garbage Pokemon and I'll give you the legendary. That's kind of how it worked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it might just be internally put there.
Yeah, which makes it tricky, because then... And they still haven't introduced trading, so I can't even, like, trade anything to someone for a bird. I just want the birds. I want a bird.
They make it too hard to get birds.
I can understand, like, a limit, like a, they do, like, the limited event Pikachus that have, like, hats.
Yeah.
And, like, I can understand that, because, like, after the event is over, you can still catch a regular Pikachu.
Right.
Like, it doesn't eliminate you from being able to interact with that Pokemon entirely.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, I guess, do the birds come back? Like, are they going to be on a schedule? Is it going to be, like, an event?
Yeah, like...
Even if it's, like, monthly, like, oh, you can only catch us, like, the first week of the month, or, like,
or some other thing. Yeah, something like that. Like, where it still made them rarer to find because they're legendaries, but doesn't completely... Like, what about people, like, so if someone, like, only starts playing Pokemon Go next one, like gets their new iPhone for Christmas...
They don't
start playing it. They're never gonna get to...
Sorry, no birds. So I imagine they'll come back, but again, it's not communicated very well to let people know that.
Yeah. So, we'll see how it goes. I'm salty about the birds. It's gonna be a thing.
We can be salty together, because I'm salty about not getting Sonic Mania on the PC. But, I mean, people are probably gonna make mods, so that's why I don't mind having two copies. I have, like, my portable copy on my Switch, and the high res be stupid one on the PC.
There you go.
Yeah, so might as well give people some music, right? Is that what time it is?
I think it's that time.
Okay, I think what I'm gonna do is give you the music from the Sonic Mania reveal trailer, because I think that's, you can buy it and monetize, like, it's able to be monetized by Hyper Potions, and if not, that's something else cool. So
let's see how it goes.
Let's hope that's what you're hearing now. We'll see you after the break. Hey, we are back. Hope you enjoyed that music. As always, go support the musicians. Information's in the show notes. Help the little guys out. I believe that was their words. If it's the people I want it to be, and if not, it's always good to support people. So we got some television news. Two segments. That's good. I saw Rick and Morty episode 4 of season 3. It was alright.
Nice. Yeah, how was that going?
It's alright.
Not just can't live up to the Pickle Rick, or
it's it's, I think there's, like, a rumor that Dan Harmon said it's the worst episode of the season. And I, so far, I'd agree, but it's kind of like the worst Rick and Morty episode is still better than, like, most Family Guy episodes. Like, let's say the average Rick and Morty episode is an 8, that would make the worst one like a 6 or 7. And that's still passable TV, and it's still good. I think it was just the last few episodes have just had some kind of punch in them. And this one was just more of like a... This kind of felt like the episode... It felt like a breather episode, you know what I mean? Which, you know, the next episode's going to have Rick and Jerry going on an adventure, so there might be some deep stuff in there, or some heavy jokes, or some wild jokes. But this one was pretty much just like a takedown of the superhero genre, that kind of thing. Which was good. It was definitely serviceable. It was a good episode. I laughed. There's some good stuff in there. But it wasn't, like, earth-shattering. You know, it's not going to make it... I don't think it's going to make anyone's top 10 Rick and Morty list. But it's fun. Glad I saw it. Mm-hmm. Still a joy. Rick's hilarious. Good show. Check it out.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
What else we got?
You want to tell me about... Do you want to tell me about the other show you watched this week?
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about some DuckTales. I watched the first, like, let's say half of DuckTales. So I'm going to give you, like, a spoiler-free rundown on what I've seen. But basically, just so you know, it's free on Disney XD's YouTube as of when I recorded this. So it just kind of starts on a sort of a cold open. It goes through a story. And then you get, like it goes through, like, a full episode of DuckTales. And then you get, like, the new theme song. And then it kind of goes through, like, another episode sort of thing. And I didn't watch the whole second part of the episode. And it's one long thing, which I think is kind of a throwback to the original show's first four episodes being one long story. Four mini-adventures that were one long arc, in a way. So I think that's what we're doing here. But basically, this kind of set up the cast and, you know, got the nephews to Scrooge, you know, which is not really a spoiler. It's something that had to happen.
Yeah, that's, like, the premise of the show.
Yeah. And Webby's there, and Mrs. Beakley, and Launchpad, so... Spoiler-free, I guess the show's charming, it's really cute, it's fun. The nephews seem different than each other now. I'm sure... they might be
pulling... You mean they're not just three identical people who speak in unison?
Yeah, I mean,
different colored shirts?
They do that, but they all have different outfits, too. So it's not just red t-shirt, or red t-shirt, green t-shirt, blue t-shirt. Like, red polo, and green hoodie, and blue t-shirt. I don't remember what their makeup was, but... And then Webby's there, and she's more of a character now. She's not just the girl one. It's like, oh, guys, how come I don't get the adventure? So I'll let people see what she is, but she is she has a personality and gains the respect of the boys fairly quickly. It doesn't seem like it's something that's hard fought over the season. And also, I guess she has the same voice actor as Sadie from Steven Universe.
Nice.
Yeah, and at first I didn't notice that, but I'm like, oh, that's Sadie. From the donut shop.
Some donuts.
But it's a good show. It's funny. Like I said, it's charming. I'm still not warmed up to the theme song yet. They take a few choices that I don't know if I would have made, but it gets the job done. What else? There was something else. I can't remember. They referenced, I believe, yeah, okay. I think this will be, Darkwing Duck will still be set in this universe. I mean, obviously it will be, because Launchpad McQuack is in both. But in something that I'm not sure if it's a throwaway or not line, I have to watch it again, but Darkwing Duck lives in St. Canard, and that's mentioned in the first episode, just kind of like while someone's reading a paper or something.
Nice.
Like, I don't think they really needed to go out of their way. Like, if that wasn't something to be set up or just like a nod to the fans, I don't think they would have put it in. So I believe that, yes, Darkwing Duck will show up eventually.
So, fingers, feathers crossed.
Feathers crossed. Hey. You me fuck.
Hey.
Tell me about these other two shows.
Yeah. Unless you want to talk about DuckTales.
Unless you want to talk more about a show you haven't seen.
No, yeah, I'm holding off on spoilers for that. I am also midway in the center of finishing up a review of the one show I'm going to talk about, because it just finished. It's over forever, and I am sad, but I'm also okay with it, because sometimes things have to go away, and that's okay. Orphan Black ended this weekend. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I love Orphan Black. It does have its issues. First and foremost, that it's really white. Holy shit. And, like, part of that is that the main character and most of the supporting cast is all played by the same white actress. So it's kind of inescapable, but still the last couple episodes kind of frame her as, like, a stand-in for all women rather than just, like, all clones, which is a little bad.
That's not as good as, that's less, I guess, excusable is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, but there were a couple, and, like, from a plot perspective, there were a few loose ends in the finale, just kind of, like, what happened to this guy? And, like, where did he go? Where is this? Like, what are they gonna do with those bodies? Like, that kind of thing. Because it smash cuts to a epilogue, like, 20 minutes into the last episode. And this is an hour-long show. And so it spends the last, like, 35 minutes of its runtime kind of giving us the wrap-up to their stories. Which was hugely emotionally satisfying. Like, I was very... I have very few complaints about the way emotionally it wrapped up the end of the story. May have cried a few times. It's been a while since I cried at a TV show. And I can't understate, again, how nice it is to just watch a TV show, tell the story that it wants to tell, and end on its own terms.
It's so nice when a show actually gets to end.
Like, it's... They got 5 seasons. They told the complete story from Sarah finding out she's a clone to, like, them rescuing and, like, healing all of the clones in the world. Spoiler alert.
Was that mean? That was the plot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
To some extent. So, like, there wasn't anything else left to tell, really. Like...
That's good.
So...
It's a nice... Yeah, like you said, it's a nice scene ending.
They never had to, like, kind of fight with cancellation the way, like, Hannibal did. And ultimately died, too. So, just, like, it's so nice to be able to watch a story play out the exact way the writers wanted it to.
That is good. Sometimes you see a show get a finale that they didn't really want to do it that way.
Yeah. And especially good to, like, when that finale is, like, of... God, the street outside is so loud. Especially when the finale is about... Like, is for a show where the main theme is, like, taking down the patriarchy. Like, in the last episode, like, the guy who has been, like, the physical stand-in for the patriarchy for this entire season.
Little on the nose.
but he's literally murdered with an oxygen tank to the head. Like, someone caves in his skull.
Why an oxygen tank? Was there any, like, was there,
They were in a hospital room.
Okay, there wasn't, like, specific significance to that?
No, I mean, he was trying, it was, like, right after he had tried to, like, steal a woman's babies from her, and so, like, the woman escaped, and the woman who helped her escape was, like, also about you, like, it's time for you to not be a problem anymore.
Ah, gotcha. Cool.
So that was, it was good. I was very happy. And another thing that I'm very happy about, and, like, it's almost, like, I don't even know if it's happiness or it's just a sense of, like, overwhelming relief.
Both are possible.
Both are possible. So they finally announced the casting of the Good Omens TV series. Good Omens is a comical book about the apocalypse written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. I adore it. It was my first Neil Gaiman, which was a shock because a lot of Terry Pratchett's humor is in that book. And so when you go to read other Neil Gaiman books, you're like, shit, this is... like, a lot of dark fantasy without the yucks. So, it's got a special place in my heart for a variety of reasons. It's got a lot of just, like, scenes and monologues and story points that are just, like, lines that stick in my head and things that I just love. So I'm very protective of it. I spent literally 3 years once trying to get my mom to read it. She's very bad at reading things on my recommendation.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I know the feeling.
And it's actually, it was, like, it was a running joke with just for, between me, basically, for a long time, that because there's a scene in Good Omens where the protagonists, who are a demon and an angel, who have been stationed opposed to each other on the Earth, but have been there so long that they've basically become friends, and they decide to stop the apocalypse because they're pretty happy with the way life is right now, just, like, kind of ineffectually thwarting each other. So, there's a scene where they get into, like, an argument that's kind of, like, you can tell it's one of those arguments that, like, friends have 1,000 times. Like, me trying to get you to watch Mad Max Fury Road, which you own.
See, you're trying to get me to do something, though, that I already want to do. I just haven't done it.
Well, it's, like, it's the same thing. Like, they get into this big drunk fight. And, like, not even a fight, but, like, a friendly argument where, like, they go back and forth and back and forth for, like, several pages, and the one guy is giving this, like, long monologue. It's the demon is giving this long monologue about this, like, a bird who flew to the end of the universe with a grain of sand and comes back, and he, like, and by the time that hill of sand has grown into a mountain, you still won't have watched The Sound of Music, and you'll like it. You really will. Like, and it was just deeply ironic for me that because I felt the same way between my mom and Good Omens. I was like, you'll like it.
Don't let the bird come back with the sand.
Like, yeah. Like, I was like, please, just read the book. So that was the prologue. And the news is that they have cast David Tennant and...
Scrooge?
Someone who is not Martin Sheen. Michael Sheen. It was like a sheen, an M sheen, but not a sheen I'm worried about.
M night sheen.
M night sheen. Sheenaline. But yeah, they've cast them to play Crowley the Demon and Aziraphale the Angel, respectively. I don't actually know anything about Michael Sheen, but I feel like there are a few more classically attractive folks than David Tennant who could play Crowley. Because as much as I personally love and am attracted to David Tennant, a lot of that is based in the characters that he's played. And I acknowledge that. But, and I say that not to dunk on David Tennant, but because the character is a demon who is, like, you know, like, he's attractive because he needs to tempt people.
I think we should be able to say when someone's like, oh, hey, you're attractive, but you're not, like, you're sexy, but you're not hot.
You know, like, classically sexy. He's not John Hamm, you know? Like, it's not, like, a, like, Chris Evans kind of...
He's no Dom Malloy. Dude.
He's no Dom Malloy. but, anyway. Sorry, David Tennant, my love.
I mean, David Tennant, the second most attractive man in the world.
Next to you?
Yeah, of course. Duh.
But, and the reason I say relief is because I was so... viscerally concerned that they were going to cast Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch as these two characters.
Yeah.
Because it is a BBC series. There are only three actors in England. And...
Well, apparently we're taking Benedict Cumberbatch for some reason.
Can we give him back? Like, I was thinking about, like, because I could see them making that decision because Benedict Cumberbatch has that more, like, I wouldn't call him classically attractive either, but he has, like, that kind of, like, the jaw, or, like, the cheekbones and, like, dark hair, and,
he looks like a melty Bill Nye to me.
That's great. And, like, Martin Freeman, like, Aziraphale is supposed to be kind of, like, a warm, pudgy, like, blonde angel who, like, runs a bookshop, but, like, the kind of bookshop where, like, it's almost always closed, and no one's quite sure how it stays open, and the owner doesn't really want you to buy any of the books, they're, like, just his books, but yeah, and so, like, he's just, like, kind of this, like, cozy, pleasant character, and, like, again, it's a very hobbity kind of character, like, I can see Martin Freeman being cast in that role. I did not want John Locke AU, the Apocalypse.
John Locke AU.
Oh, Apocalypse Now, John Locke edition. Like, so, like, I'm so relieved. I'm breathing a sigh of relief. I know that there's joy and there is wailing and gnashing of teeth about this casting already on the internet, but I am just, I'm not at, like, my crops have been watered and my skin is clear level of happiness, but I'm...
You ever smile in this shitscape that we have going on?
Yeah.
Which is a big enough feat. Oh my god, everything's terrible. But some things aren't terrible. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Dear Lord. That's it. That's my thoughts about Good Omens. Do you wanna play some music for the people?
Yeah.
Did you have, like, a thought that you wanted to offer or anything?
Nah. I just got depressed again. There's so many good things that are independent of time. You know what I mean? Like, the world's weird, but, like, there's so many good games and movies and shows and things to enjoy. Let's enjoy them. So here's some music, and we will see you all after the break.
Now we stand, now we fight, fighting for rule.
that music was ahead of time, but I hope you enjoyed it. We are back for our last little bit of the episode, which is, as always, shit we got this week.
It is that.
Dom, you get any cool shit?
I got Sonic Mania for the Switch. I caved and bought it, so, like I said before, it's good.
Couldn't wait a week to get it for the PC.
Hey, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, oh god, that's now I understand.
You know how the internet is. I tried my hardest to try to avoid as many spoilers as possible for this game. Not the story. I could give it, like, the story's, it's barely even there. It's something about time travel or something. But, you know, like I said, the one boss is very inventive, and all the bosses really are, and the less I knew about, the more I was going to get the wow factor. People point out that the game should be able to stand on its own, even if you know everything's going to happen. And it does. It's a kinetic game. It feels fun. But I don't know. I get a lot of enjoyment from surprise. Like, oh, they brought that thing in. Like, oh, cool. This does this. Like, oh, wow. I didn't know that was possible. Kind of like the exploration. And if I would have known every single level and boss, and, you know, people want to retweet stuff. So if I wait until the 29th, I'm going to miss like a whole cycle of discourse. So
you want to be in on the discourse?
I want to be on the Sonic
discourse. But at least understand what the discourse is about.
Yeah. And, you know, it's getting good ratings. Like, GameSpot, I want to say, gave it a 9. Video Game Donkey Dude, he gave like a 5 out of 5. Jim Sterling gave like a 9.5. And he's normally a pretty harsh critic. So, other normal outlets are giving it good scores. And that's good what shit. I got.
So you got some good shit.
Yes, the shit is good. It has a 9.2 on Metacritic for the Switch. That's pretty good. 9.2. Nice. 86 is its official score. That's a high B. That's a good score. 40 positive reviews, 4 mixed ones.
Good very stuff. Solid, so, yeah. Congrats to you and to Sonic. You are basically Sonic to me.
I'm actually Sonic. I mean, I didn't work on this game.
You are the embodiment of the Sonic franchise, so.
I didn't work on this game, but it's me. So, like, you know. I actually talked to a few people on Twitter that I did have some hands in this. One of my mutuals, Paul Veer, did a lot of the art for it. He's a fantastic artist, so a lot of people like congratulating the team, like, hey, congratulations on all the good scores, all the good reviews and all that. So it's nice to see people happy about something in the games industry for once. So there's that.
Good stuff.
What'd you get this week? Anything good? Anything delicious?
I haven't got anything delicious this week. I've been eating very sadly and healthily, which is a bummer. I was going to get KFC tonight, but then I decided not to spend money. But I did get a FlameCon ticket for this weekend. Very excited about it. I wasn't planning on going because I thought I have friends coming into town, and I thought it was going to be a whole weekend thing, and then I realized that they're leaving early Sunday morning. We don't have any plans that day. So, FlameCon's 12 to 6. Gonna break out that old Tracer costume and hit the con floor. So,
you should do it.
Pretty hype.
Represent character reveal.
Exactly. Pass out some, whatchamacallit, some business cards maybe.
Yes.
Shake some hands. Zora.
Wink some winks. Get some winks in. But like,
exactly.
Like bud winks. Like finger gun winks. Not like cat collie winks.
Like mouth click, two guns in a.
Yeah, yeah.
Two guns in a wink, kind
of. Yeah, yeah. Everyone loves finger guns. Finger guns, the verb. You just got finger gunned. Fingered gun?
Oh, yeah. No.
It would be finger gunned?
I think it would be finger gunned.
Ah.
Gross. That's my, you know. Yeah, I was gonna say, no matter what, it's a little gross, but that's my take on it.
Solid, I can get down with that. Awesome. I think that's all we got this week, right?
Yep.
I mean, I guess I got to go viral.
Yeah, you did.
So there's that.
You got that.
Anything else this week, homie?
I think that's it. We already gave them a biz, so...
Yeah. This week...
Can we call it a night?
Yeah, because this week screwed me up a lot, Steph.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Well, I meant just the podcast, because, like, for once we had a vocal conversation that wasn't on the podcast. So, like, we talked about some of this stuff. Like, wait a minute. Did we already record this? And no, we just talked about it on Skype, so... It's amazing. Those gosh darn millennials don't know how to pick up a phone anymore. Oh, golly. Yeah, it's been a good week. Thanks, listeners, for listening into all of our good old stuff. It's been fun. It's always fun. And
yes.
Until next time, see you later.
Bye.